last night there was prophetic word. A couple of individuals have came out. We're just starting to get to know. And he's a longtime believer. He kind of looks like that Dylan guitar player guy.
Bob Dylan, yeah.
Bob Dylan, yeah. And he goes way back, and he's really cool. He was looking in the history of our town. He really feels there's something going on here. He senses it greatly. He's seen a lot of different things, and he got a real cool spirit about him. But it was encouraging to hear that good things are happening, and just even this morning, you know, just the people are going to be reached. Things are going to begin effacing. That means it's become clear what is dark and what is light, and it's going to become more evident. The demonic are going to become more evident. Those that are with Christ are going to become stronger and burn brighter. Those that are lukewarm are going to need to decide to go one way or the other, you know, and make your decision for God or sink back into fear. So my encouragement would be to go forward into the light, of course. And in that also prophetically, the Lord speaking to me and showing me personally this past week, a lot of like tiny things. So don't neglect the small things. It's something like you didn't think was a big deal before. Maybe it's a TV show that you watch, or it's a certain emotion that you go through, or a certain attitude you have towards a certain person that you think, oh, that's you justified in having that. All of a sudden, God is going to be bringing these things up more and more. So don't ignore or neglect the Holy Spirit and His conviction that's going on, because He's sharpening us. He's sharpening our swords for the work that needs to be done. There's nothing worse than you're out hunting and or fishing and you pull out your knife to gut the deer, clean the fish, and it's all rusted and it's dull and broken and things like that. So we want to be ready at a moment's notice at the prompting of God. We want to have our swords very sharp. So God is going to show you very tiny things. I'm hearing that this morning. I heard it last night and I spoke it. I'm experiencing that in the last couple of weeks. Even little tiny things like not saying the truth exactly, making something sound better than it was for the benefit of whatever, you know, and God really calling me out on that. And catching me in those things, which I wouldn't even think of before. And now it's just like, it's got to be sharp now. There is no compromise going forward. So it's all for the benefit of His kingdom. It's all for your growth with Him. And His love for you is the resource in that. All right, we can go to Psalm 2. There's nothing else. Oh, go ahead, Roger.
Anybody's welcome to come up tonight. I know they have your thing here at 7:30, but there's a meeting 6 o'clock at Lutheran Church on Prospect, Crossland College. But there's a celebration there tonight, and I'm going to share it because I'm picking up my 10-year coin.
Wow.
10 years of sobriety.
Congratulations. Praise God. Congratulations to Roger on that. The reason the mulberry actually made me think of what God is doing is that I felt jealous because his mulberries are three times the size of mine. My mulberries are little dinky, tiny mulberries on both of my trees that I have. And I go over there and it's like these mulberries are just like huge. So I felt this little jealousy. And there it is, the conviction of the Spirit. It's like, Paul, that ain't right. You should be rejoicing for your brother and sister over there and their mulberries. Amen.
Patty used to cut them down, and I said, hey, you don't want to do that. I said, that's a fruit tree.
Maybe that's what made them grow so big.
Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the heathen rage? A question is being asked to us. Why do we even have enemies? It's not comfortable having enemies. I don't want to have enemies. I certainly don't. It's kind of hard to go to sleep when you think if there's people that are hating you or against you or have ill will towards you. And certainly we see that through the scripture. That's certainly the case. Just thinking of Paul the Apostle, now he had actually had not only people that hated him, but have taken vows not to eat until they kill him. That's pretty serious. Why do they rage? What is this, the source of this? What did Paul do? What did anybody do? You know, to feeding the poor and telling people about grace and love, and you know, what is the stirring happening? What's this anger coming from? So a question being asked by the psalmist here. It's a question that comes up in the human spirit. Why are people angry at God? What is this thing that's against God? What's the stirring happening? Why do we have enemies? Even after doing good, you know, it just stirs up the rage even more. And when you find out some things about what it's behind, it's just like these imaginations. They've built these things against you. And it's all imaginations. It's vain, empty things and imaginations. And they've brought it into a place of anger and rage. And certainly this would be for the Jewish people, as Asher shared from Joseph this morning. Joseph would experience that type of rage from his own brothers even, because of the father's favor on him. So we're going to take a look at that. There's two things happening here in Psalm 2. It's speaking of the Jewish people, God's chosen people, but also God's choice of you and me. So we need to keep those in mind as we go through this. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 7 here and see God's choosing and what that means. Verses 5 and 6 there. I was in the right chapter, sorry. Father God, we pray for that emergency. Every time we gather, it's crazy. I like it. I love it, Lord God, that our services would never be normal. They would never be routine. The structure would be by you, Lord God, not by man, Lord Jesus. There would be interruption. There would be an adulteress or an adulterer dragged in the middle of service, ready to be stoned. There would be manifestations, Lord Jesus Christ, that just provoke us to a place of rising up in strength. Lord God, don't let us fall into the structure of man, into boredom and death in that way. So we pray for that grace and the strength for our brothers and sisters that are going out to this emergency right now, Lord. They would have sharp minds, and we pray for that one or others, Lord God, that are around that one that is in need right now, Lord Jesus. They would have peace and strength, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So yes, chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. Verses 5, but thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn down the graven images with fire. God is responding to pollution that's infiltrating his people. For thou art a holy people unto God, it says in verse 6. The Lord has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. You were the smallest. You were the weakest. So we're seeing some things here of why, answering the questions, why we have enemies. What's going on this earth? There are two kingdoms. It's real basics here today. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of light. There's the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of Satan, which is the kingdom of darkness. And we see God separating out those two things and making it clear that there's people that are on one side or the other. There isn't the in-between. There isn't a gray zone. You're in one side or the other. So we're to choose God because he's chosen us. And what does it mean to be chosen by God? Let's look at Israel first here in Deuteronomy 7. How does God choose? What are the requirements? What's the resume that we put before God? Well, we see here in verse 7 that it's nothing to do with our strength or our prowess or something like that. It isn't the numbers of Israel. They were the tiniest. You know, they were the little David. They were the amidst the Goliath nations around them. They were the smallest. So it isn't anything to do with that, God's choosing of us. It was because of his love. You ask the sages and the rabbis, okay over there, buddy, of old, or the big long beards, you know, and it's, why has he chosen the Jewish people? Why did he choose Israel? Why did he separate them out? Because he loved us. Why did he love us? Because he loves us, is the answer. That's as far as you will get with him, because that's as far as is being expressed to us, because of his love. We also know it's because of the faithfulness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Go get him. Hallelujah. It's the faithfulness of God there as it's being expressed. But because the Lord loved you, in verse 8, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Joseph is one of those fathers. You got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph is one of those sons. He was the type of Christ. It would be even out of God's people that he would be rejected but set apart for God and his purposes. So we do have enemies. And the reason is that God has made a choice. God has chosen people. If he didn't, we wouldn't have any enemies. We'd all be in the same camp. We'd all be under Satan's rule. We'd all be belong to Satan. We'd all be in the kingdom of darkness. But we've been called out of the kingdom of darkness into this place of light. And we see that in Peter. So let's take a look over there. That choice is still being made today of calling people out of the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light. We can look at 1 Peter, way on the other side of the Bible, chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envying of mulberries and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. How do we grow up? Well, we're doing it right now. I'm growing, you're growing, because we're hearing the word of God. If you so have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So you see a people chosen of God, and then you see a son given, as we're going to see in the psalm. Ye also as living stones are built up into a spiritual house. You're sitting in that house today. The house isn't the floor that is beneath you or the chair you're sitting in. It's you. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believes is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at his word, being disobedient, whereunto all they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. There's that word again. All the way, connecting from Deuteronomy all the way almost to the end of the Bible. This choosing of God and the separation that happens. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's a special people, just as he said in Deuteronomy. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you see the transfer of kingdoms there? You weren't in a state of wandering. You were in a state of darkness. There's two kingdoms, darkness and light. If it was just darkness down here, and God turned his back after that he would be justified in doing so. Because man was disobedient, Adam and Eve bit of the fruit, they sinned, and darkness took over everything, infiltrated everything that's out in creation around you today. Sin has affected everything. It's impacted the world around you. But God, right? But God, that's the key. He's come back for us. Why? Because he loves us. Let's go back to Psalm. Psalm 2. We see it's his faithfulness, the promises of God, and the resources are his love. You put those two together, the faithfulness of God, his promises, and his love, and you have grace. You have grace being meted out to you and me. And it's not about our strength. And it never was about our strength. God's choice has always been based on his love. What's the difference between where we just were in Deuteronomy and in Peter, the New Testament? What's the difference between the old and the new with God's choosing? Praise God. That's a good one, huh? Yeah, fire engine's going now, huh? Hallelujah. Let's throw a little extra prayer up there, Lord Jesus, thanking you, Lord God, for all the equipment, the men and women that serve you, Lord Jesus, those faithful that work day and night listening to the radio, Lord God, for the next urgent situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know if we'll have a... It's going to keep getting like this, so don't get frustrated when we gather. I think you can expect interruption now. God is going to continue to use us. The warfare is going to be real, and I appreciate that. I would take that over a boring Sunday any day. I would take interruption and warfare and battle and real things happening. Praise God. So what's the difference between the old and the new? How have we progressed from the old to the new? Well, back in Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there, but it goes on to say, if you obey, you know, to stay and remain in this place, you've been chosen out, but now to remain there is a condition of your obedience to the Ten Commandments, to obey God's law. So things were conditional, and it was the conditional on the faithfulness of man. Man's performance, how he could do, how he could live up. And we see in Romans tells us the bitter news that all have fallen short. Not one has made it to the top of the heap of being able to satisfy all the Ten Commandments, except the one sent from heaven. And we're going to see that in the psalm as it rolls out here. So the condition has been met. It's not been erased. It's been met by Jesus Christ. The condition has not been taken away. It's just been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. God didn't change his mind. He fulfilled the requirement. So back to this question in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine vain things? And boy, do they ever. When someone is against you, when you have an enemy, there's no pleasing them. There really isn't. When they're against you and they're in that darkness, you're in the light, and there's that thing going on, it's like, wow, there's nothing you can do. Everything you do, they imagine things, and everything you do, you are the bad guy, you know? And it's just like, really, I'm not, you know? So there's these imaginations that happen. The heathen will rage, and I'm telling you this not to discourage you, but to tell you the reality, to encourage you to be prepared. This is what we have to face when we're dealing with the enemy. Vain imaginations. And we see it with Israel. It's a phenomenon all through history. And one of the reasons we stand on the word today is the reality of it. It talks about these things. You're looking at something that is 3,000 years old today. It says the heathen rage and they plot and they imagine these vain things. They're still doing this today, not only against the Christian believers, but still against the Jewish people. They even have a word for it. It's called anti-Semitism. Is there any other words for racism that's out there that's specific like that? I'm not aware of any. But anti-Semitism is a specific racial attack against the Jewish people. And they even have conspiracy theories. You go Google this stuff. Look, Google Jewish conspiracy theory. You can go to websites and references of all of these conspiracy theories, of these imaginations, of these vain imaginations that the heathen plan and imagine against God's people, his chosen people. 3,000 years ago written, it's happening today. Over in the Middle East, they even have the craziest one called the zoological conspiracy, where they blame the Jews for attacks of wild animals against anybody. It's the Jews that did it. It's their fault. And they would have all kinds of propaganda in Nazi Germany. You would read it in the newspapers. It's the Jews' fault. It's the Jews' fault. They caused this. They caused the economic downfall. They're the ones that caused it. And it would all this promotion. The reason we stand on the word of God today is because it's real. It's really happening. 3,000 years ago written, and today you can go look it up. It's really happening. They're still doing this. They're still doing this crazy imagination of things. And when we're grafted in, we experience the same thing. Don't be offended. Don't get into a place of cooling off and apostate and dropping out because you encounter the enemy. and they imagine crazy things about you. And they come against you for no reason. They just rage because there's two kingdoms and there's a war going down on this earth. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You know, the repelling is a repelling away from light. The bottom line is, what's really happening is they feel the constraints of truth coming against them. It's a kingdom of truth against a kingdom of lies. The kingdom of lies is the place of a kingdom of darkness where you can have whatever you want. And you can live on lies. And that's the kingdom that produces what I call freedom, D-U-M-B. And it's based all on lies. And the light comes into and encroaches that darkness and it repels. It recoils. It feels like it's being constrained, and it tries to get away from it. And then the raging happens, and the imaginations happen, and you have warfare happening. But you see that in verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't want those restraints. It's truth. It's a kingdom of truth. Jesus would tell that to Pilate. Pilate's like, where do you come from? Where's your kingdom? Is it across that way, across that ocean? It's the kingdom of truth. I came for truth and I represent that kingdom. I am the way, truth, and life, Jesus said. So we see that being given here. This is a messianic psalm here in Psalm 2. It means it speaks of Jesus Christ specifically coming and being given. Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. There's a war going down here. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill in Zion, speaking of Jerusalem. Guys, we can think of this as as a sports team, as a sideline with a coach on the sideline. He's chosen the weakest team out there. You know, they're not very strong, and they're getting demolished out there. And what he's going to do, he's going to send out his secret player, the son. And that's what's being expressed here. It's a messianic psalm, the giving of the son being declared here. I will declare the decree the Lord said unto me. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day I've begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. He's bringing them out into the game. All of a sudden, you're in the huddle, and your head's down, you know. Your head's down. You're getting defeated, man. You get these great nations around you, and it's like, all of a sudden, guess who shows up in the huddle? Jesus Christ is the Son of the King, is coming out here. I will give thee heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. I've been hit with that rod of iron. It's called the gospel. It's the gospel. There is nothing that can penetrate. There is nothing of man. There is no bullet. There is no weapon of physical things that can penetrate this stony heart like the gospel did. Be wise now, therefore. Understand what's being expressed here. O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. That's all of us. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Some verses being shared about trust today. Jan's. Psalm 62 is a good one, and it's all through the scripture, and we're going to see that in Psalm 3 as well, about trusting in him. So the giving of the Son, a messianic psalm there. Why do we have enemies? A great introduction to the songbook of God is that you have to choose one side or the other. God has intervened into a sinful world, And he's brought together a team, Israel, the weakest and smallest of all. And then within that team, he's going to bring out a secret player, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 3 now brings us into the fruit of all of this. The fruit of the gospel, where I can turn to in the midst of being surrounded when I feel like, man, I'm being attacked. Lord, how are they that increase, that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. You want to know the definition of stress? There it is in verse 1. You feel overwhelmed. You don't feel in control anymore. You're out of control of the situation. It's like you're overwhelmed. Many are they that trouble me. All of these things around me, surrounding me. Things rising up against me. That's the definition of stress right there. That will cause rust in your body. It's called oxidation. That will cause physical sickness. It will cause spiritual depression, mental depression. It will cause spiritual apostation, where you drop out because you've given over to fear. Lord, how are they that have increased that trouble? Many are that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. So that's the enemy speaking, that God is not going to help you. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. This pattern that you're going to see in this Psalm 3 right here, you're going to find that through the whole song book here. All through the 150 Psalms, you're going to see this pattern of this downcast, this trouble happening, and then going to that place, that resource of God, and being delivered. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life in bite-sized chunks, you know, where we can reset on a 24-hour basis. We can lay down and sleep. We can be reset. We can be recharged, refreshed. God designed it that way. Way back in Genesis, he divided the day and night. He made the day. And that was for you and me. I laid me down and slept. We'd be refreshed. We'd be recharged. And we can go after the day all over again. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life in bite-sized chunks like that. It would be overwhelming otherwise. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Wait a minute, what happened here? Just in a few verses, what happened? Many have increased. How they have increased that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. Compare that to, I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000. How does that happen? Cheerios? Honey Nut? What? How does that happen? The Lord is our shield. That's how it happened. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. It happens every single day for the believer. We go from this feeling of being overwhelmed and things rising up. You're not unique in that situation. You feel things rising up. I see that. My bills, I see this going on, all of this. The Lord is my shield. Shields go up. Star Trek people understand that. Shields up. My glory and the lifter of my head. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people. He went from fear to faith. The transition is so familiar for the believer. Going from fear to faith. You don't go from fear to condemnation to more fear. Go from fear to faith. What's been motivating you this week? The actions that you did, were they motivated in fear? The things that you said, were they out of fear? Were they of faith? Be honest. Good review for the end of the day, speaking of 24-hour periods, to have that time just enough to review the day, the things you can remember. Lord, were those of fear and faith? Lord, just tell me. And we'll do it again tomorrow with your strength. Verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, and save me, my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. The battle belongs to him." So when you're responding and wanting to respond with anger and responding to the conspiracy, and it's like, no, the battle belongs to him. People call me up on the phone. I remember somebody calling me up and saying that, you know, there's somebody said something really bad about you. And, okay. What was it? You know, you want to defend yourself and say, no, I'm not, you know, things have changed for me. Now it's like, you know what? Bring that individual here. They have no idea how bad I really am. I really want to make sure they have an understanding. You know, I think they only have 10%. They need to know the whole thing because God is awesome. He can take a wreck like me and bring me into something and use me and make purpose and fruit out of my life. Praise God. You want to see how desperately wicked my heart is? If that gives you jollies, I'll let you know. I'll let you know how good he is and what he can do with an individual's life. Look through all the scripture. You know, you take the bottom of the barrel. I mean, like scraping the bottom of the barrel. And God would choose them and bring them up to confound the wise and the wisdom of men. Culture would reverse that and have us elevating people where God would be looking at the bottom of the barrel, the one in the gutter. And somebody read it today about humility, that God will pick those people up. And it's that place where God can be most effective in our life, in that place of humility. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Arise, O Lord, and save me, my God. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Selah, you'll see that all through, is a pause. You're thinking about what was said. I'm going to dwell on that thought. Selah, I'm going to pause. It's also a musical rest as well, but it's a thoughtful prose. The shield that is provided is the Lord. So it isn't something that God drops out of heaven on us and we use it like an instrument that has no life to it. It is the Lord himself. It says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." So what is the shield that our provision is in these times? It is the Lord himself. And it's called the shield of faith in Ephesians. But it's the armor of light. It's Christ. It's all of Christ that we're putting on the clothes of Christ. He left something in the tomb for you and me, neatly folded. That was his clothes. And we're to put those on. And when we put those on, we're putting on Christ himself. He's called us to step into him, to abide in him. We're the branches. He's the vine. So the Lord himself is our shield and our glory and the lifter of our head. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think we should do a little more worship this morning instead of going into another psalm.
Many are the weapons of my enemies. Right here in this moment, give me eyes to see. The God of angel armies is surrounding me. Right here.
Thank you, Jesus. So for Psalm 3, please, if you want to put names next to the Psalms, you'd be welcome to do that, or however you want to do the Psalm project. It's awesome. You can write down Brandon's name against that or near that, Psalm 3. And you can put other names there as well, too, of course. But it's a fellow that we met this morning, and we'll pray that believing together for him. Another project going on is the school bus psalm, but the school's out for the summer. You're just going to see summer school buses, but you can also do that when you see let that be a reminder to get into God's Word. So let's believe that this morning as we finish up. Lord, how they've increased and troubled. Many are they that rise up against Brandon. Many are they that say of his soul there's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for Brandon. His glory, and the lifter of his head. Brandon cried unto the Lord with his voice, and he heard out of the holy hill, Selah. He laid him down to sleep and awaked, and the Lord sustained him. Brandon will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against him around about. Arise, Lord, and save Brandon. My God, for thou hast smitten all his enemies upon the cheekbone. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Amen. We also want to lift up Patty this morning. We pray for relief of that headache now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.